Good morning and welcome. It is good to see all of you here. We appreciate your presence. We're very thankful for our visitors being here, and we hope that you will take some time afterwards to stick around that we might get to know you better. It is the first Sunday of the month. As it turns out, it's the first Sunday of the year. And so, as has become something that I do, this is when we begin the series that relates to the theme for the year. And the elders have given us a very good theme for the year. And most all of you have no idea what it is. It has been shrouded in secrecy, but now it shall be revealed. For those of you who have been visiting, the congregation has been tested and challenged over the recent months and even over the years. We have had several who have had to deal with cancer. One of our young members most recently has been diagnosed. One of our older members has been fighting cancer for years now. And there have been some comments and some thoughts that have related to Harold as he has had this ongoing cancer, and just amazement at the way that he has approached this. When he was discovered that he had cancer, you did not see him getting in a panic he's never been shaken. The doctor said he only had a few months to live, and he wasn't shaken. And he lived a lot longer than they said he would. And now his fight with cancer seems to have pretty much come to an end. He is no longer being treated. He's really just waiting. And his request to us was interesting. I'm going to have to go back. I have a sermon with a series, with an illustration that I just have to change because of him. Because he ruined my point, and he made a better one. I had talked about how people lacked faith, and so when we ever heard that somebody was sick, we prayed for their well-being. We'd pray that they'd be healed. But then when the doctors came and said, no, it's terminal, we stopped praying that they would be healed. And I said, where's the faith in God's power? And then Harold comes and he says, stop praying that I'll be healed. Because he's ready to die. And the attitude that he has had, the confidence that he has had, has been something that some here have struggled with. How can he have so much confidence in the face of what's coming? And this gets to the theme for the year. It is not just that Harold has faith, and this includes Rosa as well. It's that they have hope. And that is our theme for the year, hope. We have struggles that we are going to face, pains that we are going to endure. But through it all, God has given us something that will allow us to endure, and more than just endure, allows us to thrive. And that is hope. And so we are going to spend a good bit of time this year on the subject of hope. And I tried to think, what am I going to do about, how am I going to begin that series? And I started going through all the passages, Old Testament and New Testament, that talk about hope. I've been busy. There's a lot of passages on the subject of hope. And where do I begin? Well, Alex prayed this morning that I would not preach a message from my own word, but from his. God is going to answer that prayer. Ryan was freaked out. He gets up here. He says, Jared, is that your sermon? It has 50 slides. I said, yes. Yes, that's my sermon. It is the sermon in Scripture. Let us consider an overview of God's message on hope. Some of it will be broken up into various subjects, but this all, every passage, look for that hope in it. I want to briefly, before we get into it, what's our goal for this year? What are we going to accomplish as we look at this subject of hope? Really, there's going to be about three things that I really want us to get from this. The first is I want us to have more confidence in our faith. That we have more confidence in what we are doing and what we believe. If you consider this morning's class is on evidences, on apologetics. That's about having confidence in what we believe and what we do and the truth behind it. We ought to have more confidence. Our hope is that at the end of this series on hope, we will have more strength to endure whatever challenges come our way. and ultimately that we will have an optimistic outlook, no matter how dark our days may feel, that we will have more hope. Are there any among the idols of the nations who give rain? Or can the heavens grant showers? Is it not you, O Lord, our God? Therefore we hope in you, for you are the one who has done all these things. The hope of the righteous is gladness, but the expectations of the wicked perishes. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. But now faith, hope, love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of his strength, of his might. There is one body and one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So many passages throughout the scripture in reference to hope are not about the people who have their life, everything's going great. Hope shines brightest in those darkest days. And so many of the scriptures then talk about hope in times of despair. But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. Yet, with gentleness and reverence. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Though he slay me, I will hope in him. I will wait for the Lord. My soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. Indeed, more than the watchman for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is loving kindness, and with him is abundant redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. We have been unfaithful to our God and have married foreign women from the peoples of the land. Yet now there is hope for Israel in spite of this. So now let us make a covenant with our God to put away all the wives and their children according to the counsel of my Lord and of those who tremble at the commandment of our God. And let it be done according to the law. My soul, wait in silence for God only. For my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. For I hope in you, O Lord. You will answer, O Lord, my God. Sustain me according to your word, that I may live. And do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Kings will be your guardians and their princesses your nurses. They will bow down to you with their faces to the earth and lick the dust of your feet. And you will know that I am the Lord. Those who hopefully wait for me will not be put to shame. But there are false hopes that we will have. Sometimes we put our hopes in things we ought not. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. The king is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anything, anyone, by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. The book of Romans has a great deal to say about hope, and so I just put that in its own section, Romans on hope. In hope against hope, and this, by the way, should be Romans 4, in hope against hope he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For in hope we have been saved. The hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scripture, we might have hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the hope, as Ryan mentioned this morning, truly is in the resurrection of Jesus. When Jesus had died and was resurrected, the disciples didn't know what to believe. And Jesus finds himself with two of them, and he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "The things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty indeed in word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things happened." And then on the day of Pentecost, Peter quotes from the Old Testament. Whoops, that's in the wrong place. Well, this goes along with the subject. "For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue exulted. Moreover, my flesh also will live in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow your Holy One to undergo decay." But perceiving that one group were Sadducees and the other were Pharisees, Paul began crying out in the council, "Brethren, I am a Pharisee, a son of the Pharisees. I am on trial for the hope and resurrection of the dead. But this I admit to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, I do serve the God of our fathers, believing everything that is in accordance with the law and that is written in the prophets, having a hope in God, which these men cherish themselves, that there shall certainly be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. And now I am standing trial for the hope of the promises made by God to our fathers, the promises to which our 12 tribes hope to attain, as they earnestly serve God night and day. And for this hope, O king, I am being accused by Jews. Why is it considered incredible among you people if God does raise the dead? If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. And so our hope is in salvation. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with Him. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. The hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. For it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. The book of Hebrews emphasizes the need for us to hold fast to our hope. But Christ was faithful as a son over His house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. In the same way, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of His purpose, interposed with an oath so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And then these final few verses in this lesson will be yours. Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech. Be strong, and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child rests against his mother. My soul is like a weaned child within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. If there are any here who are not Christians, we give you an opportunity to have something to look forward to, to face the challenges of your life with confidence and optimism, to face the time of your death with confidence and not fear. We give you an opportunity to know that you are right with God, to have your sins washed away. If you desire for that, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, if you believe that He died on the cross and was resurrected, then won't you come forward? confess that faith, be baptized into him, and have your sins washed away, and live a life filled with hope. And if you are a Christian and you have fallen away, you have given your hope away. And in your darkest hours, you will miss it most. And on the day of judgment, even more so. And so we urge you to come back now, before it's too late. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?
Someday you'll stand at the...
Loud. Go and try. See how loud that gets?
Yeah.
Don't be too loud. We can hear you breathing. So say hello.
Hello. Hello. Winnie the Pooh.
I'm gonna try
something. Okay, one more.
Winnie the Pooh.
All right.
Okay. That's pretty good.